Well, I wasn't having any trouble getting up. I was trying to get my power turned on there. Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight.
Amen.
Amen. It's a blessing. Thank you for the music. I like that harp, don't you?
Amen.
Ooh, that's good. I'm glad I'm sheltered tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to depend on the Democrats and Republicans. Sheltered by the everlasting arms of our God. What a blessing. If we had ever dawned on us where we are in relationship to the Lord, what a difference it'd be. God had been good to us, saved us, and brought us to this good hour. Somebody said on one occasion, I don't see why in the world God ever saved me, and began to catalog what all they'd done and where they'd been. Why in the world would God ever save me? Well, God did that to demonstrate His grace. Amen. Amen. He didn't do that to take you to heaven. He could have solved that for the foundation of the world. But He wanted you to love Him and follow in His footsteps and get up and just tell Jesus how much you love Him every day. And don't let it get a formality, but let it be a reality. Just tell the Lord you love Him. And I do. I love Him. Let me say before we sit down tonight, thank you so much for allowing me to come and be with you these couple of nights. It just seems like, man, I just got here last night and it's over with. And maybe one of these days He'll call me and we'll book a 2 weeks meeting. And I'll tell you everything I know probably in 2 weeks. Brother Stan, when you and I first started, that's what they did. I'd preach Monday through Saturday and go to church where I was pastor on Sunday, crank back up again on Monday. And I remember old Brother Ray would preach almost 2 weeks before he'd get to give invitation. I said to him one day, I said, Brother Ray, why in the world you wait so long to give invitation? He said, bless God, you can't scald a hog till you get the water hot. Now, some of you folks don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you do. That's right. That's right. We live in a fast-paced age, I'm sure of it. All right, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 27. See if I can get through some of these Hebrew names here. And see if God won't speak to our hearts out of this passage of Scripture tonight. God was settling His people down in Canaan. There's a new country now. They had been slaves all their lives. They'd known nothing but the men folks working in the brickyards, making slime and gathering straw to make and build cities for the devil, Pharaoh. Never had any independence. I was there. In fact, I'm fixing to go back next spring. And you can go to some of those places, and especially in Egypt, and on the walls, you'll see a lot of diagrams. A lot of times they would write with word pictures, tell their story with word pictures. And if you'll study history, the Egyptians really didn't do that. And if you'll notice that those pictures, when you start reading it, you'll start over and read from left to right. Where we normally, in English, we read from right to left. In Hebrew, it's backwards. The reason I'm saying that, probably most of what you see done, if you go down to Egypt and see the Sphinx, a lot of those things in the pyramids, probably a bunch of Hebrews did that. I don't want to be ugly tonight, But the Egyptians are not real intelligent when it comes to smarts. It's really not intelligent. In fact, some of the greatest achievements under God's heaven has been achieved by the Hebrews. Our atomic bomb. The vaccine for infantile paralysis, polio. A lot of the major advancements in military was made by Hebrews. Now these folks had lived under a disguise. God put them together in Egypt, which gives us a picture. That's where all of us started, was down in the low part. I mean in the world of sin, degradation, and wickedness. You can go now. Last time I was in Cairo. I mean, the very atmosphere is just thick with wickedness. That's where God's people were. God put them there and put them together. Now he's brought them out of that. And through 40 years of development, God could have took them in less than a year's time if he wanted to. But that was not God's plan. You can grow up a ragweed overnight. Look at my bean patch if you want to. And after I got through pulling the beans, my steaks are still there. Many morning glories just come up overnight, you know, and run them. And boy, they're looking at me right now smiling. Pretty blooms, but sure will choke out a bunch of beans if you leave them there. You can grow that overnight, but you can't grow an oak tree overnight. Ragweeds will be gone when the first frost comes by. Like a lot of Baptists. They do pretty good when things are going well and the wind's blowing kind of out of the south. But when the north wind blows, they get gone. So God's got them in another country now. God's developed all these. God don't get in a hurry. Are you listening to me? God, that's why we ought never try to cram God in between 11 and 12 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Right.
I don't know who told folks supposed to get out at 12. I never did. I couldn't find it scripturally. But anyhow, God's put them in their place. Now, God's not going to choose an angel to get his work done. He said, "I love." Now, this is his people. Now, we are his children. But these are his people. And he said, now, to put them together and to make a nation out of them, they're going to have to take some responsibility. And I want them to. And so God begins to give unto them different things to do. Now, that's where we are in the book of Chronicles here. God settled them down. And he didn't mean for anybody to be a freeloader.
Amen.
Now I appreciate what folks do for me. I way to bring these roses. You give them in. I appreciate that. But I'll tell you something. I'm not going to go with you out to dinner tomorrow night. And just because I'm Pastor Lockie, expect you to foot my bill. I despise a freeloader. That's all right if you want to buy somebody your preacher's dinner. I mean, it's perfectly all right. But he don't go around saying, I'm glad you came and take care of the bill tonight. That's freeloading. God said, you're going to have a position and a place. And so he begins to designate. Now we wonder oftentimes how in the world did God choose where I'm to be? It's God's prerogative. He understands that. And he puts us where he wants to. When he built this body, there's nothing more meticulous than this body. 100,000 miles of blood vessels and veins in our body. A heart put in your ribs, and I'll soon be 80 years old. Been pumping 15 gallons of blood every hour for almost 80 years. That's better than a Ford or Chevrolet engine in it. Amen. Amen. So God knows where we operate best, doesn't he? All right, in light of this, I want to read this. He's given designated people, places to go. And over the vineyards was Shimei the Ramanite. And over the increase of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zebdi the Sephonite. And over the olive trees and sycamore trees that were in the low plains and Bilhina the Gideite, and over the cellars of oil was Joash. Let's pray to you. Our Father, I'm so glad you give us traveling grace today and watched over and cared for us. And I'm grateful it's been a good day, been busy, but I'm glad, Lord, it's been a good day. I'm grateful you've demonstrated your love and your grace in more ways than we'll ever know about. I realize, God, that you protected us from danger we didn't see. You've loved us and cared for us, brought us safe to the house of God. We're here tonight, and Lord, by the providence and the divine order of God, we're gathered just like we are. And Lord, you've got us here for a unique purpose tonight. So I pray that you'd open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. And when we walk out of this place tonight, we ought to say, thank you, blessed God, for where you put us and how you use us for the glory of God. Now I ask you, Lord, anoint your servant tonight with the power of God. And come here to glory in the flesh. Lord God, it won't last if that's what it's all about. But oh God, help us to lean heavily on the Spirit of God tonight. Do your work in the hearts and minds of individuals. You know the need of every individual that's here. Maybe some in this room, no doubt there is, it's lost. Never been to Calvary. Know nothing about being transformed, made a new creature in Christ Jesus. So I say the power of God touch hearts and lives. Oh God, may we do what we wished we would have done when we stand one day in your blaze in glory. Have your perfect way. Anoint us with the power of God, not to parade the flesh, but to exalt Jesus' name. Bless this church. Bless this good pastor and their endeavors to do the work of God on this side of the eternity. You help them and give them wisdom and knowledge and leadership and add to the flock daily such as are saved. May it be outpouring of the Spirit and the power of God in these days. Do now, Lord God, tonight what you want to do, and we'll praise you and honor you for it. In the blessed name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When God was designating different places of position for the children of God, it is evident to see that every job did not have prominence like others did. Some folks were not recognized. Some was a treasury. And I guess that was one that was a more noted position. And they gloated in the attitude that, well, God's put me in very prominent place. Other folks had jobs working down in the field, dirty, hot, and nasty. But God had a place for everybody to go. And he wanted them to do whatever God had them to do. By the way, you ought not to go very far in your Christian life until you begin to seek out what God wants to do for you and the place you need to fulfill as a child of God. You see, we've got the mentality that God saved us. We're headed to heaven. Glory, hallelujah. Well, that's real good, but God's got something to do from back yonder till we get over there. And so we need to be keenly aware that God has a place for us to fulfill. I'm glad that God didn't choose angels to do the singing for us. I'm glad he didn't choose Brother Stan. Glad he didn't choose seraphims to do the preaching for it. I'm grateful that God give every one of us a place. I want to ask you, do you know your place? Now, if you do, I know some places that has got titles and some do not. That's my firm belief that God only has one call. Now, he gives folks many talents, but there's only one divine call of God, and that's to preach the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Rest of it is appointed. Amen. I had a fellow come tell me one day, said, Brother Lockheed, God's called me to be a deacon. I said, you'll probably have to go to some other church, because if I ever find out somebody's been called to do something like that, because they knew he was missing God. He is wanting a position. But God calls his men. And I know that's a unique place. Now, I didn't make that choice. It wasn't my choice to make. In fact, I would have made, if I'd been looking for something to do in life, I would have been looking to preach. But God has unique places for everybody to feel. Now, some, as I say, may be a little higher and some may be a little lower, but God has a place for you. Now, in light of that, I want you to look at the last phrase in that 28th verse. And over the cellars was Joab, the cellar. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit, first of all, about the peculiarity of a cellar. Now, some of you folks have not the earthly idea. How many know what a cellar is? Oh, we got enough? Got enough here? Now, I'm not by myself in this. I remember a little old house we used to live in down in Lincolnton. Had a cellar in it. I was just a kid. And it is not a place that you go down like our basement. It's built where you go outside. And you have to, they dig down the side of the dirt. And the house not underpinned. Back in those days, they didn't underpin the house. But they did around that old cellar to put some boards up around that. And down in the cellar, it was underneath the house. Had to go outside to get down those steps and get in the cellar. Most of the time when you went in, you didn't go in every day. And you lifted that old lid, and that's to keep part of the rain out of the cellar. Lift that old lid and go down. And the first thing you had to do was start wiping spider webs out of your face. You remember that? But you go down in that cellar. It was a place that's unnoticed. You go by a house in those days. You wouldn't hear anybody say, "How beautiful is the cellar?" No, sir. Because down in that cellar, when you went inside, a lot of times there's rats. I didn't say mices. I said rats. You know, little mice don't bother me. But when you get about that long and the tail is about twice that long, that's a rat. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But you'd find rats. That was a haven for them. Nobody disturbed them. But that's where mom and daddy, we had us boys and girls, we had to go put our beans and our taters and everything we canned went in the cellar. Right. Amen. That was what was in the cellar. It is not an easy place to get to. It is a difficult place to get to. It is unrecognized. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of places that God puts us, like Joash in that cellar. It may not be too recognizable, but it really doesn't matter. God, listen, God never rewards us according to our accomplishments. He rewards us according to our faithfulness. Amen. A lot of things you can't do, a lot of things I can't do, but every one of us can be faithful. And he's saying there's a cellar. And it's a place unrecognized. It's a place out of sight. It's not a good, pleasant place to go. I remember going one time, and I'm scared of a live snake, a dead snake, a poison snake, or one eating poison. I'm scared of a snake. Looks too much like a devil. Amen. I went down the cellar one time. Mom had always said, "Hey, James, you go down the cellar. Always good stuff down there." Man, we'd pick blackberries in the summertime. Of course, a pretty good sized family of us. Six boys and six girls. Amen right there. And we didn't have poodle dogs and bulldogs and Yorkshires and all that stuff now. But they had young'uns in those days. Hallelujah. Amen. We didn't put them up in pint jars, quart jars. Mama put them blackberries up in half-gallon jars. Amen. And Mama, we'd open that up, and you see, we didn't have freezers in those days. And so when we kill hogs, she fried out that sausage and put them in half-gallon jars and turn them upside down. All that old lard go to the top, seal them in. Well, I'll tell you, when the wind is blowing about 35 miles around the corner of the house, it's down about 15 degrees. It is good to go down that old cellar and get out a jar of them blackberries and a jar of them sausages and bring them upstairs. And Mama makes some slow gravy and some cat head biscuits. I tell you, that's 50. Amen. Yes, sir. But every bit of that's down in the cellar. You didn't see it when you walked in the house. It is down in that cellar. Unpleasant place. I'll tell you, some good things come out of unpleasant places. Amen. Go down that old cellar. I mean, where the spider webs were. And once in a while, there's a black widow. And once in a while, a black snake could get in there. Then he said, "Don't kill that snake." I said, "It'll kill me." "Oh, it won't hurt you." I said, "No, it may not hurt me, but it sure make me hurt myself." Amen. Because I ain't hanging around where no snake is.
say. And so it's a difficult place. It was not a prominent place, but it's a place where, praise God, when you sit down at the table and you warmed up them sausages and melt all that grease, and mama took, and mama took that grease and she'd put it in the pan and she'd put a little flour and she'd brown it real good. And I don't know how to do it, but I sure did watch her do it. And she'd stir that gravy up, and she'd make a whole pot of slow gravy. Somebody said, "What you mean by slow gravy? That you don't have to run out all over your plate." Amen. Right. Praise God. Let's go eat. How bad? Amen. Down in that basement, that cellar rather was good things down there, but it's all out of sight. Not a pleasant place. I'll tell you, God has called us sometime to feel unpleasant places as far as our position in life is concerned. Unpleasant in this world. But I'll tell you, thank God that some good things comes out of it. I say, bless his good name. So when I look at that cellar, I see that it's so unpleasant and unhandy. You know, it's never handy to do God's work. How many of you find the Bible was waiting for a better position or a better day? You know, it's never handy. Somebody said, when I get a little older, I'm going to serve God, you know. And if the end of my children grow up, I'm going to do better to serve God. It'll never be handy to serve the Lord. Always unhandy to get down in the cellar. It's unhandy. You see, we live in a world that's marked with a curse of sin. And everything we do for God's absolutely backwards in this world. But I want to tell you, thank God it may be unhandy. But there's a lot of good things come out of unhandiness as they bless his holy name. Aren't you glad that God give you a place to work? May not have a title to it, but some folks are saying, what can the church do for me? It's not what the church can do for you. It's what you can do for the church. Amen. Amen. So we see that pleasant, unpleasant place, which is called the cellar. Now, Joash was working in the cellar. Now, when you find out what he's saying you're over the cellars of oil. That's the product of it. The product, that's what comes out of the cellar is oil. And when you start studying the Bible and find how oil is used in the Bible, you find out, man, that's an important, Joash is unseen. Nobody ever recognized Joash. But when everything else is going on, Joash is in that cellar. He's making oil. You know what that oil for? It's for? First of all, it's for the anointing of the priest. Amen. Amen. Could I say this? You know what you men and women ought to do when you get out of church tonight? You ought to start making some oil. You ought to say, well, praise God, my preacher's going to need some oil on him on Sunday morning. And let's just pray, get oil on him. Get down that cellar and pray, God, you anoint my preacher. My children need to hear from heaven and needs to hear anointed preaching. Somebody said, well, our preacher's got where he don't preach anymore. You know, why don't you pray? Why don't you make some oil and say, anoint Brother Stan? I mean, just, praise God. It's a blessing when you come and preach. You know, folks have prayed and believed God and you get the oil dripping off of it that you can't see. Oil that you can't hardly feel. But you know God's there. Yeah. Pray that God anoints you, man. With the power of the Holy Ghost, that's when men come in. Praise God, they get ants in their bitches. They can't have. So I hate to hear folks come in, it's lost and done of that God, and said, I really enjoyed the blessings. Enjoy. Listen, if you're lost and done without God, you can't enjoy what God has. Amen. Give the man of God the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that sinners won't feel comfortable in the house of the Lord. You say, well, they ought to feel a little comfortable. No, 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 no. Being uncomfortable will make them go home. And say, what in the world made me uncomfortable in the house of the Lord? What made me so, what went on? I'll tell you, the Spirit of God can take that anointed preaching that bothers them, and they'll get home and they'll turn out the lights and it won't get dark in the room. Praise God. Yeah. You know somebody's been there. Hey, you don't have to have a title to your name. Find your place in a cellar somewhere and say, dear God, anoint my preacher with oil. So he'll be anointed to preach the word of God in power. Yep. Well, no substitute for that. Amen. I don't care what you do, skits and rips and all that stuff. You're not worth a fiddle. God said, I told you, foolishness of preaching. Yep. Not foolish preaching, but foolishness of preaching. Yep. I made mention some years ago about how you know, to really preach is just, I mean, to the world, it's just foolish like, you know. Yeah. One of my men, I said, if you could just watch me and never hear a word I say, he'd say, that's just foolish. One of my men took me up on that. He got in the vestibule where he couldn't hear a thing in the world and peeped in. And all he could see was my emotions. And he said, it's the most unusual thing I've ever seen in my life. And boy, that's right. You get a preacher. I'm not talking about one that's up there. Lord God, I've been by some brother Stan. I won't walk up there, boom,
yeah,
and see if he could move enough. Oh, and he's somebody that makes them all. Well, the man of God is anointed to preach the word of the Lord. That'll help your young'uns stay off of drugs. Amen. That'll help your children want to live right. It's when God puts a shell of anointed preaching that can't get away from that. I appreciate these men. A couple of them here dressed in uniforms, sheriffs, high sheriffs, or patrolmen, or whatever. Bible, y'all clear out before we get out here tonight. Don't follow me down the road. Boom, 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 boom. Amen. Amen. I appreciate we got law officers. Amen. Sure have. Everybody's not going to have a place and a position where folks recognize you. I appreciate what these men do. I'm glad I can lay down tonight and I know a problem comes on my door. I can call 911 and I can get somebody there to try to help us out. Amen. I appreciate that. But there's going to be a lot of places these men can't be. Where your young'uns are. But God, the Holy Ghost can put something in the heart from anointed preaching that'll put a guard around them. All officers of the country can't. Well, glory to God. That's the reason we need somebody better stand. Make some all that the man of God be filled with the Holy Ghost to preach the word. Well, hallelujah. Now that don't fit somewhere. Because some folks not. They're not interested in disturbed. I had one Sunday, I had a couple of kids back there and making some noise. And I told them, I said, all right, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't settle down, me and your mom and daddy are going to sit down with you and we're going to have some talking going on. And got all right. One of the men, bless his heart, he come to me and he said, Brother Lockheed, said, I sure appreciate you getting them boys quiet. Said, they've been disturbing my sleep of the morning. Huh? Then we got some folks just believe that. They just want to come to church. Why in the world do you want to get off a good, smooth, sealy potrapedic and a good foam pillow and come sleep on hard pews at the church is beyond me. Huh? But good anointed preaching disturbs you.
Amen.
Amen. Keeps you awake. I had a little lady. And I do this everywhere I go. You can't hang me behind her all the time. I go deaf and dumb. But anyhow. But I was one of these little sophisticated churches, you know, and this little old lady had a glass on a stick, you know. You know the kind. And she said, Brother Lucky, said, I enjoyed what you said, but law me, I had to keep doing this. And it's hard for me. She brought them glasses, would have been near as hard. But it's hard for me to keep up with you. You're just walking back. I said, well, two things. I get my exercise when I'm preaching. And number two, if I get you doing this way, you probably won't do this way. Amen. I tell you, we need somebody to get in the cellar and make all for the house of God.
Amen.
No, you see, I appreciate good electricity. I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to sit in dark. Wait till I do understand it. Amen. And I thank God for good lights, because I remember going when they had them coal oil lamps. And boy, I tell you what, that's the reason most preachers grew up in. They couldn't talk on Monday morning, inhaling that old smoke off him lamps and his horse, you know. But anyhow, somebody in those days they had them lamps, and somebody had to make some oil so them lamps would burn. I don't tell you what, folks. That's where you keep a light in the house of God. If you got oil. You need direction. And light's the only thing gonna give you direction. Huh? And you need to get down the cellar and say, oh God, light things up in the house of God. Turn the lights on. But I want to tell you see the evil likes darkness. God loves light. And when God turns the light on, amen. Not just because we're sinful, but I want to tell you what, it's when God turns that light on, preacher. And while we are preaching, you think of 40 things that I never said. The Holy Ghost just starts turning that book of God over in your heart. You know what He's doing? He's turning the light on in your life. He's giving you direction. Oh, praise God. I'm glad it's not limited to what I can say. But while I'm saying this, God can turn the light on in your life. Oh, I've never seen that before. We got a subconscious mind, and we can be hearing what I'm saying, and God, the Holy Ghost, will do something in your brain that'll give you off of that same word. Well, praise God. That's what anointed preaching does.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about, I infringe on your rights to tell you what happened politically today and read you some things off of news and make that my message. I'll tell you, I'd be infringed on your right to look at television, read the newspaper. I didn't come to tell you that. I want to tell you news that come from heaven, praise God, that Fox and Bears and the ABCs and CBSs and all the rest of that crowd didn't get. Come from God Almighty. And we get the light turned on and God turns the word in our soul. What a difference it
is.
Amen. Amen. Pride, you know what keeps me going? God turning that word light in my heart.
Yeah.
If I didn't, I'd go crazy.
Yeah.
Boy, listen to what goes on in our country today that's anti-God, anti-church, anti-moral. You just talk about. I mean, we're living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We live in the age of Noah. Or listen to me. I'm here. I want light from heaven. Praise God. I don't care about what the ABCs and all of them got to say on the news report. All they're doing is brainwashing our country and thinking for them, putting fear in their heart. I'm glad, praise God, I got light from heaven. Somebody praying. Oh, praise God for somebody that prays till the light breaks in. We need that, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. That helps you understand when you're down in the valley and you don't know why all these problems are coming. All of a sudden you get in the house of God and God turns the lights on and it lightens up your way and you begin to see what God's doing.
Yeah.
You see? Let me just drop this right here. It's not my outline. Wherever it is. But let me drop this to you. The reason that we need light, if we're not very careful, we don't have that light constantly coming from God, we'll get so involved, preacher, in the blessings that we forget about the blesser. And that's the folks that shipwreck when the blessings aren't coming. Because all they're acquainted with is just the blessings. They never met up with the blesser. Are you listening to me? We need to know not to thank God for the blessings, but I'm glad I got the blesser.
Yep.
Amen. I praise God at the house. We won't eat that much bread, but I remember my wife used to bake bread. I wouldn't have kind, you know. And she used to be, and still, she's a good cook. You can look them in and tell that. Good cook. But I'm glad he hadn't just got the biscuits and the gravy and the chicken and mashed potatoes and bent old beans and onions.
Amen.
Ooh, we're going to have to eat, sure enough.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I got the one thing God that made it.
Yeah.
Oh, I praise God for coming. And God give me good health and give me a car to drive and decent clothes to wear, Brother Stan. But I'm glad I got the one that come from.
Yes, sir.
That's the reason. He's all I need.
Yes, he is.
He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. I say praise God for that.
Yes,
I'm glad I know where the blessings are coming from.
Yes,
and when they're cut off, and I may not have a car to drive, I may have to follow my wife to the graveyard. I may have to put this up dead. Praise God before the sun goes down. I got the blesser.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Oh,
that's what we need, to recognize when the light's turned on. We recognize the blesser and not so much the blessing. It's all about Him, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All about Him. It's not about you and me. It's about Him. Glory to His name. All right, let me close. I'm going to try to be through sometime or another. Let's talk about not only the product, and it's good, because somebody's got to do the dirty work to get that product. God, I remember Brother Stanley's one day, and my dad's preaching. He had a visiting preacher come in, and we're sitting taking that nine. And now, some of you don't know, understand, but back in those days, they had the first table and the second table. I mean, you young, just wait till the second table, and you get a slim piece of meat sometime to feed, you know. You get that after a while. I lean at the door, and this preacher, you know, and he had a big old tall glass of milk, and boy, he turned that up, and he took about half of it the first time up, and he said, "Preacher Lockie, my, you got a good cow. Boy, that's good milk." I said, "Yeah, bless God." And I was the one had to dodge a kookaburra's in that cow's tail and sit out there and milk that cow. Huh? Somebody's got to do the dirty work for the milk on the table. All right, listen to me. Somebody got to go down the cellar where nobody sees you and does the dirty work. Oh, we stand up here and praise God, and I'm glad, you know. But this is all over, Brother Stan. We think about what we've accomplished. God sent us up and bring some of them old widow women and said, "You wouldn't have been worth a flip if they hadn't been in the cellar for you."
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Somebody's got to do dirty work. Yep. Amen. If you're going to have good old country ham and eggs and red-eyed gravy, you're going to have somebody to slop them old dirty, stinking hogs. Yes, somebody's got to do the dirty work. Yes, amen. Yes, that's the product. Let me talk about the people. The other side, it's old Joash, unrecognized. Probably don't know much about his mama and his daddy, but I do know he worked in the cellar. Worked in the cellar. You know, I was hoping you might meet my wife tonight. Oh, she's washed my old dirty clothes, scrubbed him old ring around the collars for 60 years, prayed for me and fixed my clothes when I go for a revival meeting. I remember one time I'd been so busy, and I thought, I'm going to help Miss Lockie out this week. And so I come in, had about 8 or 10 shirts that was dirty. And so I ran down to the cleaners. I said, "I need these out late this afternoon." Come flying out in the morning. I said, "Get these ready for us." He said, "I'll get it ready for you." I went and got them, brought them back in. And Miss Lockie said, "Who did your shirt?" I said, "I took them out of the cleaner." She said, "You're not doing well enough anymore. What's the last shirts I ever took to the cleaner?" Made me feel like I was about that high. Huh? There's some people that you'll never meet that's made this preacher. Well, yeah, I worked for everything I got. I had difficulty in school. I'd been one, if it voting, would want most least to succeed. I slow in school. I was the last one to tuck the mumps. I'm just slow. Had to work for it. Brother Stan had somebody in the cellar. Somebody's praying for me. But I praise God for people like that. If I'd ask you who Amram Jockey bid, would you know who I was talking about? A whole lot of you would. But there's a lot of folks. If you'd say, "Who's Amram Jockey bid?" "That's Moses' mom and daddy." I'd ask you who Moses. "Oh, you know him right off. Boy behind the scenes. His little old mama. Jockey bid took him up in her arms. And she knew in a few weeks he's going to be in the arms of Pharaoh's daughter. And I sure got to teach him everything I came." I want to tell you something. You can teach a child a whole lot more than you think you can. Amen. But I'm glad we got some Amrams and Jochebeds back on the behind the scenes. Amen. I wish I could think my mind going on a vacation with me. But there's a fellow by the name of, they called him Praying Nash. Good pastor church. I mean, voted him out first two churches. They voted him out for was our year. We just didn't fit in. But he got to go, what's that preacher's name? He's a lawyer, smart. I mean, old Puritan preacher. All right, let's just call it that and let go. But he would follow him. And I remember reading about old Nash one day paid 25 cents to stay 5 nights in a cellar. Stayed right there and prayed for that preacher. And I'll get to you when this life's all over. And he stands before God. Old Praying Nash will probably be laid up beside of it. Said, you couldn't preach yourself out of a bag. Had been an old man that followed you around when you didn't know it was being prayed.
Amen.
My mom died when she was 96 years old. I love mom. Hard thing for me to give up. I went by mom home one day, and I walked in, and I didn't get to see mom as often as some of the kids did. I was on the road all the time, preaching 25, 30 meetings a year and trying to pastor church. But when I did, I'd slip in. And I walked in one day and I said, Mom, how you doing? I saw an uncertain look I'd never seen before. I said, Mom? Oh, she says, James. And I said, yes, James. What's up my backside? I saw. There's a mother when I'd stump my toe. Oh, she put that old kerosene on that stump, put me up in her lap. Said, it's going to be all right, son. Next time, Mama didn't know me. That's hard. That's hard. She's the one brought me through thick and thin. She's the one told me and I asked her to preach. She said, James, you're dead. About right outside the window of the little house down in Mount High. Old Dr. Edwards had brought you into this world, walked out of that bedroom. You're 6 months old and had double pneumonia. And old Dr. Edwards said, Preacher Lockheed, God don't touch that boy. He won't be here in the morning. He's with Dr. Edwards. Walked out and got in his old automobile. He said, Dad went outside that window and he was in that crib just inside. He said, Lord, that's my boy. If you want to take him tonight, it's all right. You let me have him 6 months, that's fine. Lord, if you'll touch and give him healing, he's yours. I'll do my best to bring him up. But you can use him any way you please to use him. Answered a lot of questions for me. But Stan, when I was 10, 11 years old, I didn't get the other brothers, but he took James and said, son, go with me today. We're going to preach a meeting. We're going to preach afternoon, night service. We'll be back late tonight, but you go with me. Keep me company. What my dad was doing was exposing me to some old-fashioned meetings. When I seen them pray, God failed. God taught me, my dad rather, taught me to drive when I was 14 years old. I've always shown my age more than I really was. I've had white hair since I was 35 years old. Dad taught me to drive, and I got my driving license 14 years old. Nah, you know, that answered a lot of questions when Mom told me that. That's what my dad prayed for back there. That cold winter night on the front porch with the window raised at my crib. Prayed for this old white-headed man now. And I've outlived my dad. By a year, my dad died in his 79. And I'll soon be 80. I've outlived him. I'll tell you what. Thank God for somebody. Unrecognized. You never know him. We got a cousin back there knew him. You never met my dad, probably. Never met my mom. But I'm here tonight because some people. It's in the cellar. Mom and daddy. I'm looking for God to come back, but he may not come back tonight. It ought to be said about your children. But your children ought to say about you. I had a mom and dad. They taught me right. Worked in the cellar. To make it possible for me to live for you. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for being true. To love God and love you, young ones. Love your church and love your pastor. Do that dirty work. Because somebody needs a ham biscuit. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Somebody needs a good cold glass of milk. It's not homogenized. I say glory. Somebody needs the overflow of the cellar. May never see you after tonight. We'll meet inside the gate. Ooh. I hope we hear you say. It may be unpleasant in the cellar. But the after effects is out of this world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.